And you might like to turn in your Bible to Galatians, if you would, and chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5. And we were looking, have been looking, at the Spirit of God's ministry in the light of the Old Testament, in the light of the New Testament. And the Spirit of God's ministry is absolutely essential. The person and work of Christ on Calvary's cross is no good. By that I mean, it is no value to anybody apart from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's ministry is to bring to pass what Christ has made possible on Calvary's cross. Apart from him, we got nothing. Now, keep in mind also, which you know, you're always in the presence of God. God, in his essence, nature, and being, God in his wonderful person, is one. There's not God the Father over here and God the Spirit over here. Don't do that. People don't know how to do it anyway. Jesus is somewhere. Don't do that. God, one person, always present. He doesn't have to move anywhere. And no matter where it is, and God is awesome. We have to always remember that. God's awesome person. And if you were to go like the James Webb telescope up there in space and all the stuff they're doing these days to tell us. So, and the thing they just, all kinds. You know, if you take galaxies, how many galaxies are there? You multiply volume times density to get it. So, and that's very complicated, but do that. And you do that. and they come up with when they did it, but then to multiply, they come up with between 10 and 100 trillion galaxies. Trillion. Between 10 and 100 trillion. 100 trillion. And God threw that out in space like this. And God's everywhere. God is awesome. Awesome, awesome. And he is to be honored. And therefore, as we're looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, you can't, and you, when you get saved, God, you believe in the Lord, you receive the Lord, Jesus Christ is your Savior. And when you receive him as your Savior, you have to have accompanying in his awesome person, the Father and the Spirit of God. You can't have part of God. You have all of God. That's how you get saved. There is no other way. And so if you don't understand that, or people don't practice that, then they're all over the place. And you don't want to do that. So, here's the fruit of the Spirit. We were looking together, chapter 5, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, fruit singular. And then it names nine different attributes, it's fruits, love, joy, peace, etc. And that represents 10 zillion other attributes that we can't even know about. That's human terms. What would you do with God's terms? We don't have a language, and we don't have an understanding of that at all. So therefore, we look to God to deal with us. And we understand God's wonderful grace. So when we read the Bible, God is going to use fruit. Fruit represents God's nature, essence, being. God, as to his nature, is love, joy. It's his nature. So we aren't looking for a little something. He has joy over here, and he has peace over here. We aren't looking at that. You don't want to look at that. And we'll try to do it to remind ourselves again this morning as we look at this. So here's the fruit of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, remember, just think of all we did for 1,000 times here. Here's the tree, or the vine, or John 15. Here's the tree, easy, because we look at it. And here's the branches. The branch is nothing. The branch is only, if the branch is on the ground, it's dead. But, if the branch stays attached to the tree, it enjoys the life of the tree. And the life of the tree flows in the branch and expresses itself. It evidences itself with fruit and leaves. That's what it does. That's what we're looking at. When we abide in Christ as the vine and the branch, and we abide in Christ, the love, the life of Christ is going to just be in for us. The life of Christ is going to be our privilege to share it, to experience it. The branch doesn't have any life. Our body, made of flesh and dust of the ground, doesn't have that kind of life. God provides that kind of life in his wonderful person, not apart from his person, but always with his person. You don't have anything of God apart from God. So whatever you talk about, it has to include God's person. That's why when you get saved, as we're looking in the morning, you receive him as your Savior. That's why you do that. Because without him in here, you aren't going anywhere. No matter how, it's, I got Jesus. You better remember Jesus is God. Now, if you lose that, you're stuck, as we know. Now, keeping that in mind, as we're looking at John chapter, at Galatians 5, in verse 22. So the life of God flows, and in the life of God is the love of God. And we shared the other day, keep in mind, God, there's only one God. God says it in his marvelous word, which is the only book in all the world that says, thus saith the Lord. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, being God in his most wonderful way, is going to express himself, and he loves us. That means God died on the cross, and God is love. It's his nature. So, and being God, being the only God, and being no other God, no other God, and no other Savior, therefore, we're to honor him as God. Now, I say it here, we're sitting here, we're just sitting here, like we should, like we do. But if I could move us now into God's awesome presence, which is here, do you know, you would all be on your knees. You would all be on your knees, as sober as could be, because he's God. And there is no other God like him. And like he is, then everything about our little life, our family, our friends, our fears, our faults, we bow down. And all of that is put aside as we recognize his awesomeness. Now, as we do that, then what does he tell us? You know, he says it. recognize that he's God, and show that you recognize him as God, thou shalt love him with all your heart and soul and might. How much is left? Why does it have to be all? Because he is all. And you must love him all. Because he's God and he created us in his image and likeness. And we are to honor him for who he is. And that's why he demands that you love him with all of your heart. To give him credit for being God. There's no competition, idolatry. He's God Almighty, and you're honoring him. And when we love him like that, love him, that's how we have to do. So when we do that, we recognize him. If I choose not to recognize him, then I'm not, the love of God isn't getting to me to die on the cross. I don't see that. So then, in my pride, in my being, if I don't love God as my creator and savior, then I love myself. That is, I make my own gods and my own religion. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3 through 7. We make our own gods, period. Now, when we shared all that with you, there is no God apart from him. And all the rest is something we just do. We're just busy doing what we do. In the name of God, in the name of religion, whatever it is, that's what we do. And therefore, it's self-love. We get self. It's all about us loving self. Pride, pride. Where does pride come from? From self. Self. The devil, that's the devil's sin. Satan's sin, pride, pride. God made him the most beautiful, Ezekiel 28, the most beautiful of all creatures. And he looked at the beauty, and everyone, all the other angels did, and said, boy, are you different? Are you different? And he said, boy, I am different. I am different. And he started claiming that for himself, not recognizing it was God reflected in his wonderful created being, in God's glory. They didn't distinguish that. The wonderfulness was God in him. Now, anyway, so I don't get sidetracked. Now, in the process, keeping that in mind, so Christ, God, provides. God in himself is the fruit. And he provides the wonderful, wonderful life to be expressed and to be enjoyed in its most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. So, and in Galatians 5, not only we have the love of God and the fruit of God, the expression, the experience, we're to enjoy God's wonderful person and his wonderful, enjoying his wonderful person. We enjoy to enjoy God, fellowship with God, fellowship. Remember we shared, friendship is one thing. We are friends of God, that's one, something else. But fellowship, Christian fellowship, always includes God. Otherwise, we're just being together. Christians, enjoying pizza or whatever we're doing. But when you, God has to be included, that's called fellowship, when he's included. Leave him out of everything, and you just got a lot of religious activity. Now, so having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I can, so God and his wonderful person is going to go and express himself. God always enjoys being who he is. God always enjoys being what he does. He's a glorious God, and all that he does is for his glory. So there's nothing God, so what when I say that? That's the love of God. God, joy, that's God, being God. God being who he is, doing what he does, the way he does it. He enjoys it, hang on to that. Now, having said that and keeping in mind, and in enjoying God's wonderful person, we're to enjoy his fullness. God isn't stingy. You very rarely said God will give somebody a loaf of bread, like using a tabernacle. God gives bread every day. God gives everything, multiplies it. God, you can't enjoy God without enjoying his awesome immensity, his awesome being. Everything is a, think of all the stuff. We just said the 10 zillion galaxies out there. Zillion. Out there, the galaxies. Does he need to have that many galaxies? Yeah, he said, I'm going to put it out, as you know, so you never can count them. And Abraham never had to count them. But boy, with our James Webb telescope and the new one coming up to go further, we're going to get more. What are you getting? You'll never exhaust it. God said, I did that. I could have just made 1,000 stars. No, I made zillions of stars. Why? I do everything because I'm God. I multiply you peace and joy. I multiply grace to you. I don't add it. I multiply it always. Now, so having said that, to see that just a little bit, remind yourself in the fullness. I didn't mean to talk so much. Over, if you would, please. Over to the book of Colossians. And you pick up just that which we need to be reminded of. In Colossians, and in chapter 1, going if I can. Now you know, here's Colossians, but turn a couple of houses down over to Ephesians again so you see it. Just remind yourself, letting it sink in. Each time you learn something, see something, it deepens. Let it deepen itself. Let the roots of the tree get down inside of you. Not just roots on top here, because it can fall over and doesn't feed. Let the roots get down deep, deep down inside, so you can enjoy that stability, that steadiness. Ephesians chapter 2, as you know, verse 22, God hath put all things under his feet, that's Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And then you don't have to guess, the church, the assembly. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The head fills the body. The body supplies to the head. The body completes. You go from your toes to your hair and the head. And you go from that body is for you to enjoy. The head is to person is to enjoy the body. Christ is going to provide everything for the body. And the body is going to complete everything that the head needs. Sliding over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. And it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Fullness. Full, that's what you're going to read. Do it again. Chapter 2, personal. Verse 9. For in Christ dwelleth, A-L-L, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete, same as the word fullness in verse 9. You are complete, full, in, where? In him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. You have a wonderful, wonderful fullness. So God provides himself. And thus, when you talk about his love, his joy, etc., you're talking about God's wonderful person, being who he is in our little hearts and life, being who he is, all that he is, doing what he does in his fullness, in his wonderful fullness. Hang on to that for the morning. Now, if you can, picking that up in mind and going. So God's pleasure to do what he does, the way that he does it, when he does it, how he does it. Now, in keeping that in mind, so the Spirit of God is going to go and help us. Now, we did love a little bit to see love. And there's a huge, marvelous difference between our use of the word love and God's use of the word love. And we shared all that. Now, over if you would to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And we're going to pick up the next little word, joy, again, where we were. And in Romans in chapter 14, just remember we said the Spirit of God's ministry, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit of God's ministry to bring home to the heart all that God is. So, chapter 14, the book of Romans, and just tying that together, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It isn't going to the eating and drinking. No. It's more than that, yes. Verse 17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy. Where are we going to find them? In the Spirit of God. You're not going to find them anywhere except in the Spirit of God. I want joy. You'll see it in a minute. Well, God isn't going to give it to you like a piece of something, hand it to you. He's not going to hand it to you. You don't get it. He is it in your heart. He is joy. He is joy. His whole person is joy. But boy, we're going through trouble. And there's a change. His person. When you receive the person, when you receive, you're jumping ahead. Here's a doctor. And you go to the doctor and he tells you whatever you do and get and tells you that. And the doctor's there and you take that information. And that's wonderful information. And you take it. Now, he gave you two sentences to tell you what it is. Now, and you have to absorb those two sentences into your head and get that. And you have to do that. And what are you trusting? He just gave you two sentences, and he smiles when he does it. So you take it, take the two sentences. Now, what else? What do you bought? The two sentences you got from the doctor, that in the doctor's life is all the medical training that he has. But he only gave you two sentences about your problem. That's all he gave you. God, in his wonderful grace, gives us his word in order to what? And we get it. So God, what? You're so much more. You're so much more. And the two sentences, I only understand them this little bit. But God, you understand it all. Yeah. I don't understand, doctor, what you do. But I understand a little bit of what you're trying to tell me. And I'm trusting you for all the rest of it because I don't know it. You do. God does. Now, so therefore, joy, joy. God is excited. He's excited. Here's the war. Here's the famine. Everyone's getting all kinds of problems in the world. The devil's doing what he's doing. But God is joyous. always. What he allows and how he allows it never changes. His love never changes, his joy never changes, his peace never changes anything. He's the same in your heart. He's not disturbed at all. Everything out here looks disturbed, but he isn't disturbed. So that's what you're looking to, trusting in now, so that the Spirit of God, do it again so you see it. Over, if I can, over picking up chapter, well, you're right next door, chapter 15. Chapter 15, book of Romans, and going to see it again. Verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all, A-L-L, joy. Now, it doesn't give you a little joy. How? Because you got all joy. Why do you have all joy? Because you have all of God. How can you have the person of God without the joy of God? How can you enjoy the doctor without the whole doctor being who he is to you? You're letting the doctor be the doctor. We're letting God be God. That's what we're doing. That's all. All. Read it. Read it. Chapter Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? Purpose. That you may abound in hope, wonderful anticipation, expectation. How so? How can that ever be? How can I ever enjoy it and know it? Through, by means of the Spirit, by means of the Spirit of God, the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why it is. The Spirit of God. He has it all. He has it. So there's no question. There's no shortage. There's no little bit of joy. I have all, when you have all of, you have all of God's wonderful working, all that he is, his being, and all that he has in mind, you have it. When do you have it? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you have its fullness. Why do you have that? Because he's God. He doesn't go anywhere. He isn't going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. You're just going to go and trust him. That's what you're learning to do. God says, I hope someone can wake up. I put you on planet Earth, smack dab in the middle of my wonderful person, sitting on this little ball spinning in space. That's what I did, to learn about me. Now, having said that little bit and catching it again, over 1 Thessalonians. And all we're doing is letting it lock itself in. That's how you get it. Here's the Thessalonian believers in great persecution, etc. And you will notice 1 Thessalonians, and going, if I can, to chapter 6, chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. A lot of tribulation, you got martyred, lions of the arena, all kinds of things. You died, but that wasn't the issue. Wasn't the issue. No, it isn't. The Lord said that in Matthew chapter 10. Don't worry. Don't worry about anybody. All they could do is take your head. Well, so what? So what? That isn't your life. Your head is just something you sit on top of your head. It isn't you. Worry about him that can take the soul, not the body. All they can do is kill your body. I don't need your body. And you don't need your body, except you and I can't sit together and have lunch unless we have a body. You understand that? Now, so here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, having received the word in much affliction with joy belonging to whom? The Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God's joy. The Spirit of God is going to bring you what? The joy that Christ made possible on Calvary's cross. He's going to bring you that joy. He is that joy. That's why it's joy. That's why no matter what you're going through, that is solid. Why? It's in God, in Christ, in you. You can't change it. So when you're not looking, if you, we said it the other day, just think of joy. Say when now we read, count it all joy. Okay. And how many believers, dear believers, here we are, can really practice to understand when we're going through heartache and headache and all kinds of things, how do we be joyous? And if you ask them, are you joyous? And you're going to have to say, no, I'm not joyous. Do you understand what it meant to God give you this joy? No, I don't know. Ah, that's where we need to practice and fix it. God, my problem physically is not, it's your body. You bought it with a price. The hands, the eyes, the body, the feet, it all belongs to you. When does that happen? When does that happen to you? The moment you received him as your Savior, he took your body. Do you understand that? He took your body. Say, I don't believe that. Oh, you can't be saved if he didn't take your body. How can you be saved if he didn't take your body? Because that's part of being saved, isn't it? So how can you be saved? You can't be saved if your body doesn't belong to him. And that doesn't make it. What made it is when you died, when you received him as your Savior, he bought you with a price and took over. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. The Spirit of God took over. And what did he do? He brought you the benefits of God's saving grace on Calvary's cross. So now, having said that little bit, the joy of God to be outworked in doing his will, his workmanship, God's wonderful, wonderful everything that he does in the way that he does it. So now, his joy, and remember we shared last time together, the joy, we want to tie that in, and the word joy comes from the root verb rejoice, to rejoice. And out of rejoice, there are six words that grow out of the plant, like the flowers, six pebbles, all come out of the same pot, out of the same rejoicing. And joy is found right in the middle. His grace is found, grace, forgiveness of sins. And we looked at the six words. So we saw them. And all of them come together from rejoicing. And joy is right there. Right. So God, where does we find joy? Joy has all of its brothers and sisters, grace and forgiveness and everything else, all tied together like this, all coming out of the rejoicing of God in his marvelous person. So now, here we looked at joy, rejoicing, the nature, the essence, the being, the wonderful person. Joy finds its home in God's wonderful person. And it is the constant experience of God to have joy. It's the constant experience of God to love. It's just who he is. It's just his nature. He doesn't have to be. It just is. God is God in his wonderful fullness. So it is God's pleasure and delight. His pleasure and delight in being who he is, doing all that he does for all the reasons that he does it. And joy is the home for God's grace, as we shared, forgiveness and all the rest of it. Joy lives with forgiveness. Joy lives with grace. Joy lives with having freely given us all things, etc. Now, having said that, exercise joy. Now, so as we read the New Testament, the Bible, we're going to read peace, joy. So we want to know, in the light of what we're trying to understand, God in his person essence is being all of this. It's just God's nature to be joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It's God using our language, which is very limited, to help us understand. So now, over if you can, exercise. So when we see it, having this little bit of thought to think about, understand. Now when you read the Bible, you're going to find joy. And then you're going to be able to understand over to John, the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 15, as you know. And in chapter 15, may I pick up, please, if I may. I'll go to verse 9 just for a little background. Chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you. What for purpose? That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I tell you these things so you know that God said, I am joyous. So you can be. Why can you be? Because you have a unique relationship to God called eternal life in the person of Christ. And the life of God, the Spirit of God, brings us the benefits of the life of God, and all of which includes joy. Sliding now, chapter 16. And remember, well, chapter 16, yeah, why not? Chapter 16, and remember, the upper room, Christ is going to go out and be crucified. And so when you come to chapter 16, they're in the upper room, they're about to go out, and Christ is going to be arrested and crucified. In the process, they understand what was happening, and therefore, chapter 16, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily means used 25 times in the Gospel of John is the double verily, verily, 25 times. Verily is the word amen. When you put amen, verily, in the front, it means you better be certain, better be sure about something. You better be, no, this is true. When you put it at the end, it means so be it. At the beginning, it's certainly true. Finish the sentence, so be the sentence. So be the truth. Verily, verily. Now, so here it is. Verily, verily, verse 20. I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. There's the word, rejoice. You shall be sorrowful. Sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. There's the word joy in the root. Verse, a woman, when she is in travail, shall sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more, and the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, and that's right, God doesn't have sorrow. God's joyous, but you do because you're going through it. You have now, therefore, have sorrow, but, verse 22, but I shall see you again in your heart, and your heart shall what? Rejoice. I'm gonna help you get through this, get through it. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So God said, listen, when I go to the cross, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to come and find my home in your heart. When I find my home in your heart, you'll find joy. You'll find that it was wonderful. And remember, if we read like in the more back chapter earlier, the Lord Jesus said, why are you so sad? Because I tell you, I'm going to my Father. Remember, we shared that. I'm going to my Father. You want to be joyous. Then I'm going to die and go to the cross. You want to be jumping for joy, but you weren't jumping for joy because you don't understand what I was doing. Therefore, verse sliding along, verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive. Why? Why? That your joy may be full. Full joy. Chapter 17. God keeps using it over and again. So when you're reading your Bible, you're understanding God is bringing to your heart his wonderful person, and that includes joy. Joy. And love. Chapter 17, picking up, if I may, in verse 13. And now, up in the upper room, God, before he goes out to his crucifixion, he's praying to the Father in his perfect humanity. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that purpose they might have my joy. What? Fulfilled in themselves. Couldn't say it simpler. It's my joy that I give to you. It isn't your joy. It isn't what you're doing. It's what I'm doing. It's what I'm after. And it pleases me. It's my joy that I give you. So don't, but I don't know why I'm going through this. Why am I going through this? You're going to go through it. But don't worry about it. Because God said, I'm excited. I'm excited of what's going to happen and how it happens. And you and I can't develop and grow up in a good way without going through the college of hard knocks. You just have to fall down, break your nose, or do whatever you do. That's how you learn. And that's how you get content. Thanking God, that's when you get hope, expectancy. God, I know it's going somewhere. And you know where it's going. So I'm going to trust you with all my heart. Now, having said that little bit, if I can, over to Hebrews. And that will tie that, what we just said, together. Hebrews, and in chapter 12. And it'll all come together, I hope. Chapter 12, in the light of the book of chapter 11, having trusting God by faith. So chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. So therefore, God, you got to help us. And remember what we shared over many times, different ways. You have to learn to fear God. You learn to fear him. Because otherwise we don't know. And God has to help us understand a healthy, happy, holy fear of God that brings us to God. Not fear negative to drive us away, but fear positive to get to him. Get close as we can, God, help us. So now, having said that, so God, you have to go and help us to grow and help us to learn. So therefore, we're going in a crooked way. We got our old nature all over the place. So therefore, we have to learn to fear God and to love God. And therefore, you slide down to verse 11. I'll read verse 10 because it helps us. For they verily, for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness, to get to the place to enjoy God's matchless perfect being in what he does and how he does it. And he enjoys being who he is, joyous, and what he does. He loves being who he is and what he does. Verse 11, now, no chastening, no getting spankings. For the present seemeth to be joyous. On the contrary, but grievous. That's right. When you're getting clipped, it isn't particularly able to say, praise. You can say praise the Lord, and will you sweat it out. Now, verse 11 again. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So God, you're going to go and let us get exercised in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, exercise, therefore, you would always know what? What else do we know? Next pay, next neighbor, next door. And over to James. And in James, what are you going to say now, God? And in James chapter 1, as you go, I'll read verse 1. Now James, the slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Brethren, my brethren, count it A-L-L, joy, when you fall into divers, all kinds of testing, provings, putting to the test, putting in, being made, being tried and put on trial, put to the proof. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing what shall be conscious of, this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, bearing up under the load. But patience bearing up under the load is going to do what? But let patience have her perfect work, that purpose, you may be perfect and entire. And then those little words, wanting how much? Wanting nothing. Content. You want nothing. You're content. Let your heart be quiet in his presence. Content. Now, having said that little bit, over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, as you would guess, and in chapter 6, is a little statement that's helpful. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if I may. And chapter 6, picking up, if I may. I'll read a little context so you see it quickly. Verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, that's how we're living, that's how life, that's how we're going down the corridor of time. Verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, it is as deceivers and yet true, as known as unknown and yet we know, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always what? Rejoicing. Oh, it's a funny thing. We go through the same thing everyone else does. We also have the edge. We have your pain, and we have God's pleasure. We have your sorrow, but we have God's joy. We have it. Take away everything we have and beat us to death, and yet we're full of life. You can't take that away. Christ in you completes the whole package, and no one, nothing, anywhere, forever touches that. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, if I may, if I can, 1 Peter, where are you? 1 Peter, I know you're there. 1 Peter. You're coming to chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, picking up, please, if I may, and you'll catch it in verse 7. The trial of your faith, putting the test, trial, trouble, being proven. Do you really believe? I believe. Then show us. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Christ. Looking, and all the while, verse 8, whom, having not seen, you love. Yeah. In whom, though now you see him not, yet you're believing. You rejoice with joy unspeakable. And the world looks at you and say, how could you do that? How can you be so content? How can you be so comfortable? Why aren't you falling apart? Because, on the one hand, I am falling apart. But on the other hand, I can never fall apart. I can never fall apart. I'm a winner. Why are you a winner? The Lord Jesus Christ, I received him as my Savior in a most wonderful way. Now, and thus, you're getting a little bit joy. You're going to read it as you turn your pages of your Bible, you're reading, and you're getting an idea that when God uses the little terms, he's trying to help you understand. Take that little term and bring it to God's person so that you can understand God is very happy about what he's doing and how he does it. The world may not be, the person may not be, but God is. And so, over if I can, in the light of that, over to 1 John, and which is what we're doing in the morning and probably leading us into where we're going to go. 1 John, and in chapter 1, you'll recall what we did. We're doing 1 John. And picking up, if I may, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This fellowship, these things, verse 4, write we unto you. I'm writing it down, said the Spirit of God, so you can read it. These things write we unto you. What for? So you can read them and know them, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. God has a wonderful plan. And in our earthly bodies, you say, boy, it doesn't look too good. It looks good when you're 20 years old. When you're 110, it doesn't look so good. But it's all right. It's all right. It isn't about that. It isn't about that. No, God said, this is just a little spot. I put the planet Earth out there just for a moment. I got to quit. You got the idea. Anyway, thank you.